Good morning, everybody. We're continuing in our series on spiritual disciplines. And this week we're talking about holiness. And everybody wants to leave. Holiness, it's a challenge, isn't it? And we have a set picture, often different pictures, of what holiness is. And if I was to say, what does a holy person look like? We'd all have different images. Some would have an image of a monk living in a monastery away on a hill away from everybody. Some, a little more negatively, would have a picture of someone who is an elder in a church who's old and grumpy and likes to push people around. There's lots of elements of what holiness looks like, and not all of those images are good or helpful or healthy. There's a story of Bill. Bill was a uni student. And as he went to uni, he got into hippie, he started to be a hippie, and then he found Jesus. And as he was trying to understand what that meant to be a Christian, one day he walked out of the uni over the road to his big church, big formal church, and he walked in. He just wanted to be a Christian and explore what that might mean. So he went into this church and he saw everyone was really well dressed, and everyone was sitting up properly and straight, and he walked in and he's in his torn jeans and t-shirt and long hair and, you know, as you should. And as he's walking forward, he noticed all the chairs are filled. The place is full. So he kept walking and kept walking. So he got to the front and he just sat down on the carpet in the front. And all of a sudden you heard this clunk, clunk, click. I can't do the sounds. But an old guy with a cane coming up the hall, up the center aisle. And they all knew, oh, he's going to cop it now. He gets up the front and old Mr. Neighbours gets there and he drops his cane and he sits down next to him. And that's what holiness is. Holiness is being Jesus. It's walking with Jesus. It's walking as Jesus amongst God's people and amongst the community. In 1 Peter 1, as we read in verse 15, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. As Christians, we are holy. We are to be holy. We are made holy. And as Christians, this is to be our goal, is to be more like God and to be holy in all that we do. The point is that we are to be different. We are to be set apart. We are called to be like Jesus in the community. The question is how do we put this into practice? When we look at the Greek and the Hebrew words for holiness, it talks about being set apart and dedicated to God. So what does that mean? What does that look like? I think I've used this illustration before here, but this is my picture of holiness. This is my paint measurer for my spray gun. And so I use this only for spray paint. That's all that goes in it. It has a special container that it lives in, and it's set apart for one job and one job only, and that is paint for spray painting. No water, you don't want to put any food product in there, I can assure you of that, but it's set apart for a purpose. And if this set apart for a purpose was dedicated to God, this would be a perfect definition of what holiness is. It's set apart for a purpose and dedicated to God. And that's who we are. We are set apart and dedicated to God for his purposes. So what does that look like? How do we become more like that? Because we are consecrated. We are set apart to do God's work. In Hebrews 3:1, it says, therefore, holy brothers who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest whom we confess. We're not to get distracted by the world around us, but we're to be focused on God and who he is. So often when we look at holiness, we look at it as a moral driven. We look at it as our actions and our behavior, and holiness is not that. But holiness first and foremost is relationship driven. It's about who we are in Jesus. It's about what Jesus has done in our lives and us becoming more like him. It's easy to get hung up on the morality that you must do the right things. You must present the right way. We have that picture of holiness. And holiness is that. But primarily and firstly, it is about a relationship with God. It's about walking with God. It's about walking hand in hand with him. A couple of quick scriptures. Colossians 3. Paul tells us that our lives are hidden in Christ, or hidden with Christ in God. Galatians 2 says, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Ephesians 2:6 says, we have been seated with God in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. There's an element where as Christians, we walk into the place of God. We sit before God. We sit before his throne. This is who we are, not just in the future, but now. We as Christians are at the footstool of God. And we need to behave as if we are in that place. It's too easy to live a life that just reflects everyone else around us. We're called to live as disciples, as children of God. And our lives should reflect that, not our situation around us. There's a story written by Montague called Rough Justice. And in this story, there's a, think of the word, nanny, who's looking after, a governess, who's looking after this little boy. And the governess takes this little boy named Bron to church one day. He's never been to church and he's awe-inspired at this huge big cathedral. He goes and he sits, and as he's sitting, he's hearing this story about this man who lived an amazing life and he was killed and so unjustly and no one stood up for him. And he's looking around going, why is this man talking about this? Surely he wants us to act. He wants us to stand up and to make justify his unjust response. And he keeps trying to understand how this sad, terrible story is almost ignored by those around him. And he's getting upset because he expects that the people are going to rise up and go, we need to defend his honour, we need to stand up for him. But none of that happens. And as he leaves, the governess looks down and says, Bron, don't take it to heart. Someone will think you're different. So often we don't want to be different. We want to fit in. We want to reflect those around us. But aren't we supposed to be different? Isn't the core of who we are being different? Holiness dictates that we should be different, that we should be living a different lives, that we should reflect different values, that we should be different to the community around us. 1 Peter 1:15 again, but as the one who called you is holy, you are also to be holy in all your conduct. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. We are called to be holy. It's almost a commandment that we are to be holy. It's who we are. It's our identity. It's our foundation. We as Christians are not like what is going on around us. We are set apart. We are different. And we need to be able to value that. But that's kind of hard. So why is it hard? Why is it so difficult for us to be different? The first thing is we value conformity. We value conformity. We like to think we don't, but we do. We like to look the same. We like to not be pointed out. We don't like to be embarrassed by being different. We like to fit in. We visualize a character of holiness. We have those pictures of what holiness is, and often those pictures are unattractive. Some days I want to go and live in a monastery on a hill. I've got to admit it. But I kind of don't too. I want to be around people. I want to be able to connect with people. I want to be having the comforts of what's around me. But the picture that we have, the caricature of holiness, means that I disappear and go away. Being different means we're misunderstood what it means to be holy. So often we have these pictures that are not true and they're not what God wants of us. I don't read in the Bible that Jesus wants us to go away and live away from people and disconnect from the community. When I read the Bible, I see that Jesus interacted with people. He connected with people. He connected with those who were messy, those who had trauma, those who were difficult. He connected with people who were good people, and he connected with people that were not good people. And if we want to become more like Jesus, and that's more of our role model, to connect with people and be a part of the world that we are part of. So what does it mean to be different? Well, the first thing to be different is that we means we think differently. When we look at verse 13 in 1 Peter 1, it talks about, in the Greek, it talks about girding your loins. And what that means is that in those days they had robes, and when they were about to work, they'd tuck their robes up. They'd gird their loins. I guess in today's terminology, it's to roll up our sleeves, or maybe that's 30 years ago. You know, that if I'm going to do some work, I roll my sleeves up so my shirt doesn't get dirty. It means to be prepared. To be holy, the first thing we need to do is to be prepared to be like that. To roll up our sleeves, to get ready. So often there's an expression that we use, garbage in, garbage out. And it's true. That if we put garbage into our thinking, we get garbage out. If we filter what we're taking in, if we filter what's going on around us, if we're prepared, we've rolled up our sleeves, we're ready for the world, we're ready for what's around us, we're going to be able to be more and more like Jesus. Proverbs 23:7 says, For as he thinks within himself, so he is. As we think, we are. So how can we think better? How can we think differently? So how do we be different? It means that we live differently. We need to live differently than the community. There's some things we can still do. We can still buy proper cars and not Hyundais. No offence. But we can live differently to what our community is talking about. There's a story about a guy in the 1800s who didn't pay tax. He refused to pay tax because the state he lived in supported slavery, and he wanted to stand against slavery, so he got put into prison. And one of his friends came up and said, as he's looking through the bars, he says, Henry, what are you doing in here? And he replied to him, Ralph, the question is, what are you not doing in here? He stood up for what he believed, and he was willing to go to prison for that. And he couldn't understand why others wouldn't stand up for what he believed is right. Are we willing to stand up for what we believe is right? Are we willing to stand up for what we believe God wants? Or are we just happy to go along with what our community is telling us? So how do we be different? What does it mean? It means that we love differently. The care that we carry, the kindness that we have is different to our community. We have a sincere love, a love that is genuine, authentic, like God's love for us. Our motive is to get, not to give. Our motive is to give and not to get. There is a difference. We have a deep love. It's intense. It's fervent. It means to love with all of our strength. Christian love is not a feeling. It's not a matter of the will alone. Our love is pure. It's spotless, clean. Men speak romantically about loving from the heart, but God speaks realistically about loving from a pure heart. Jesus said in John 13, by this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. There was a person who went in to investigate Christianity in the first century, and as they went in to condemn Christians, what he brought away from it was that the love they had for each other was intense and amazing. That's the love that we should have. That's the love that we need to work towards, the love that we work with each other with. Well, how is it to be different? It means that we talk differently. We talk differently to those around us. We talk with encouragement and strength. We encourage each other. We build strength in each other. When I hurt my finger, I went along to the men's group. And of all the questions they asked, the main question they wanted to know was, what did you say when you heard it? What does a holy man say? And I had to think about it. And the words I had were, ah! Because they expected me to swear and carry on. And like with integrity, I didn't swear. It was painful and I ah-ed. But they had this picture of what does a holy man say? We need to talk differently. We need to speak differently. We use words of holiness and encouragement and strength, and we build each other up. What does it mean to be different? It means that we act differently. In Genesis 39, there's a story of Joseph. So Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care, and with Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except for the food he ate. Now Joseph was well built and handsome, much like me. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. Then one day he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, "Come to bed with me," but he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. How much do we toy with sin? Do we act like Jesus? Do we act like Joseph? Do we run from sin? Do we run from the things of the world which are going to trap us? Or do we just play with that and keep it at the edge of our lives? We're to act differently. We're to run away from sin and run away from darkness and evil. Run towards God in everything we do. So how do we live differently? 2 Corinthians 7 says, "Cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." We're to walk away from sin. We're to walk toward God. And we're to be able to confess our sins and to be able to be forgiven by God, to live a right life and to live with Him. A couple of scriptures that I want to just quickly read out. Proverbs 29, "Who can say, 'I have cleansed my heart, I am pure from sin'? No one." 1 John 1, 8 and 10, "If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We make God a liar, and His word is not in us." Galatians 5, 17, "The flesh sets its desires against the spirit against the flesh. They're in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you desire, you wish, or things that please you." God's calling us to live a life of purity and holiness. He's leading us to live a life of confessing our sin, to ask forgiveness and to walk in holiness, to change our ways, to not just give in to the flesh, but to stand against the flesh and to stand up for God. Our goal is to desire daily repentance before God. And so often we say that and we think, "Oh yeah, gee, God, sorry for what I've done, oops, and now we're good." But I think there's more to it than that. Can you imagine having a friend or someone that's really close to you and every day they come up and say, "Yeah, I did this again, I'm sorry, oops." And then the next day they do it again, and the next day they do it again, and the next day they do it again. Is that repentance? Would you believe that they actually don't want to do this anymore? Repentance is more than a word that's yelled. It's more than a word that we're supposed to feel guilty and shamed over. Repentance is a call to live a higher life, to live a holier life. It's a call for us to live differently. Repentance is something that we need to work because we are sinners, because there is sin in our lives, there is sin in this world. And as we repent, we realize that we are not perfect, that we don't do everything right all the time, and that we need to be made right. And that can only be done through Jesus. The thing is that real repentance has to happen. There has to be a willingness for us to let something go. For when we repent, we need to let go of the things that we hold dear, the things that we hold tight in the place of God. there's actions that we have, the thoughts that we have, there's things that we do that are not godly things. And we need to be able to come before God and to say, those things which are attractive to me stand against my relationship with you. They stand against who I am in with you, and I need to change. Repentance is to say that, God, I need to change. Help me to change. So what does it mean to confess our sins and to have repentance? The first thing is confession is specific. To be able to say at the end of the day, God, I was sinful, oops, please forgive me, I don't think is good enough. Confession is being specific. This is what I've done. This is how I've offended you. This is how I've hurt those around me. Confession needs to be first specific. Confession also needs to look at the consequences. We need to be able to understand that what we do, our sinfulness, is specific and it is destructive. And just to say, I hurt this person, what does that mean? But to be able to say, this hurts a person, this is what it means for them, this is what it means for me. When we confess, we need to understand what are the consequences of our actions. Why are we confessing? Confession precedes forgiveness. If we want to be forgiven, first we need to confess. If we want to be forgiven, first we need to identify what we've done and to be able to say to God, I've done this. When we come to God and say, this is what I've done, then comes forgiveness. Confession before someone we have hurt, harmed. There's times where we need to go to people and to be able to say, I've done this to you, I'm sorry, please forgive me. But be aware, not every time and every place we should go up there, because sometimes our confession actually makes more pain for the person. We need to be wise in how we operate and how we understand that to be. There's times where we need to confess to people what we've done, and there's times where we need to button our lip and to make sure we take it to God. In confession before men, there's times that we need to go up to people, up to someone that we trust, someone who's wise, and to be able to say, this is what I've done, please help me to be accountable for what I've done. We as Protestants, as Baptists, we don't like that very much. In other faiths and other denominations, they have a space where that's a part of their life and process, but we kind of don't like that very much at all. But there are times where it's helpful for us to be able to go to someone, to be able to keep us accountable, to be able to say, this is what I've done, this is the habits that I've formed, this is what I'm fighting against, can you stand with me so that I can become more holy? There's a story of a dad who went into a pool watching the diving with his kids. And there was one young fellow that came up, he was about 12, 13, and he'd come up and do these amazing dives. It was perfect. He'd watch his kid climb up, go up to the diving board, and this amazing dive after. Did about four or five of them. And then this kid's dad came out. And this kid ran up to his dad and said, you know that dive that we saw in the Olympics, I can do it. And his dad said, no, you can't. You can't do that. He said, yeah, Dad, I can. He says, no, that's really hard. You can't do that yet. And this dad watched this kid. Everything about him just dropped. He says, I can, Dad, I can do it. And he went back up to try it. And he could see the difference. The confidence was broken in this kid. And as he went up, he saw that he dove from a different place. He didn't stretch, and he didn't make it. And as he got out of the pool, his dad said, I told you you couldn't do it, but if you keep practicing, maybe one day you will. God doesn't condemn us. God doesn't put us down. Conviction is not about making us feel shame and guilt. Conviction from God leads us to repentance so that we can become more holy. God wants us to walk in strength. He wants us to reflect who He is. So when we're feeling condemned, who's doing that? Satan. Who's bringing shame? Satan. Who's making us feel bad and losing our confidence? Satan. God leads us to repentance. God leads us to conviction so that we can walk away from that and to become more holy and walk with him. Repentance and conviction and confession isn't about feeling bad. It's not about shame. It's about being forgiven and to be able to walk in holiness with our God. We're to be holy through God's grace. It's only God can make us holy. It's only God who can bring us forgiveness and wholeness. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. As God convicts us of what we've done and as we confess and ask for forgiveness, God washes that away, makes us whole, and makes us holy. David in Psalm 32 was experiencing what he'd done wrong and the guilt of that. When I kept silent about my sin, my body washed away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my sin to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. David realized that confessing his sin took it off his shoulders, took it away. That God's goal is to forgive us. God's purpose is to make us whole. When we can only do that when we realize what we've done, when we realize how far we've fallen short of what God wants for us, and that we're able to confess that and to walk in the forgiveness that God brings. We need to confess our sins. It's not something our society wants to talk about, but we need to confess our sins. We are sinful people, but we are also holy people because we are forgiven from our sins. Our goal is to become more holy, to become more like Jesus, and through Jesus' strength, through Jesus' sacrifice, his death and his resurrection, we can become holy and to walk in the holiness that God asks for us. Let's pray. God, you call us to be different. You call us to be separate. You call us to be set apart from the community that we are. You ask us to fight against our flesh and to be able to chase after the holiness that can only come from you. Father, help us to be able to identify who you are, identify your voice, to be able to come before you and confess our sins, to repent, and to become more and more like Jesus. Father, you don't want us to walk around as a people who are guilty and shamed. You want us to walk around as people who are holy and strong and confident in you. Father, I ask that you confess our sins so that we can be forgiven and we can walk in holiness before you. Father, help us to know your voice, to know your strength, be able to know of your forgiveness and to know of our healing. In Jesus' name, amen.